Let us turn together now for a few moments tonight here in this chapter that we have read, the first epistle of John, and the chapter 5, and the chapter 1 rather, and the verse that I want to leave with you tonight here is the verse 5. These are the words of John. "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now we all know that over the past months and weeks, we have heard that word, this word confused, or confusion, used many, many times with regard to the COVID, with the virus. I suppose the rules have changed and keep changing perhaps at times from week to week. So it wasn't unusual and still not unusual for people to say that they're confused and they don't know what to do. They're not sure of the rules and the regulations. And again, we find this word comes to the fore with regard to Brexit as well. Business people are confused and not really knowing what to do. Confusion with all of these matters. But isn't it a great blessing and a wonder tonight that when we open our Bibles, we're not left bewildered and we're not left in confusion. Now I trust we'll all take that to heart tonight and think upon it very carefully. Here we have the Word of God before us tonight in our hands, and it is our privilege and blessing to have it and to open it and study it and meditate upon it. But never let us forget this, that when we open this book, this precious word, as I say, we're not left confused. We're not left bewildered. What do I believe? Or whom do I believe? Do I believe Peter, what he wrote? Are we to believe John? Or do we believe Paul? Who do we believe? Now, the apostle here makes it very clear. He's speaking here about one message. One message. And with this message, it is clear. There is no doubt about it. He says, "This then is the message which we," he says, "have heard of him." He's referring here not only to himself, but he's referring to all the apostles, all the disciples. And he's referring to this inspired word. "This is the message which we heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Now back in those early days, in the days of John, there arose a group of people, a sect, known as the Gnostics. And these people profess to have a knowledge superior to all other people. They said that they had visions. They had visions in heaven and they had visions from God. And what they claimed was this. They claimed many things, but they claimed that Christ was not really the Son of God at all. And they also claimed that his body was not a real body. A kind of what we would call a phantom body. Not a real body, a shadow or whatever. But it wasn't real. Some of them went so far as to say that before he died upon the cross, he forsook this body. And there was only a shadow there, as it were. So the Lord Jesus Christ, according to these people, he never really died at all. And he never made atonement for sin. Now, isn't it interesting here that John refutes this heresy? Note what this is repeated. And we always have to note the repetitions in the Bible. They're not by chance. No, this is the inspired word of God. And he says here in the verse 1, "That which is from the beginning, which we have heard." John is writing to the people of God. And he is saying, "We heard this man. We heard the Son of God. We heard him preaching. That which we have seen with our eyes." They looked upon him. They looked upon him. And he says, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. After his resurrection, you remember, he invited his disciples to come and touch him. It was really him. So they heard him and they looked upon him and they touched him. And again, it's repeated here for us again in the verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And then he goes on here to speak about the message that they heard of him. Praise God, there was no confusion. John here is not saying to these people, well, we're not sure about this man at all, who he was. He was with us for about the space of 3 years. He claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be a prophet. Well, we're not sure. And there are so many people like that today. So-called liberal scholars. And they deny the person of Christ and the word of God. But John is not in that camp. John is very firm. John is very positive here. He's saying here to the brethren, listen, we heard him. We have looked upon him. And our hands have handled of the word of life. And we are sure about him. We're convinced in our hearts we've been saved by him. And this is the message that we declare unto you. And of course, John is proclaiming here the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect revelation of who God is. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. And this is John's way of saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is from all eternity. All eternity. That he was indeed God manifested in the flesh. Now he's dealing here in this verse. Here he's dealing here with the nature of God, with the being of the Lord. And this very word, of course, calls for our attention. He says, God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. What a great word. What a great statement. In a world of confusion, as I say, and a world of darkness, and a world when many people are wondering after this, that and the other, after this teaching and the other teaching, after all sorts of philosophies and everything else. And here we have in the word of God, this statement that can't be denied. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We want to think about this just for a few moments tonight. Now, we want to think about the light, and when we think about light, even the physical light, how encouraged we are. Light, isn't that wonderful? If you're out on a dark night, and you're carrying a lamp, and something happens, and the old battery runs out, or the bulb gives way, and you're left for to walk perhaps a distance in the dark. How encouraging it is when you draw near home. And you see the light in the kitchen. Or in the hallway. And immediately you feel secure. And you feel safe. Light. Wonderful thing, isn't it? Now here we have light. First of all to direct us. Light to direct us. Isn't that exactly among many other things? This is what light does. It gives us direction. It shows us, leads us along the path. Now there's a tremendous word here. In one sense, it's a staggering word. In this first epistle of John. We have read the statement many times. You're well acquainted with it. I'm sure the young people have learned it, maybe even at Sunday school. I'm sure you have. And it is here in this first epistle and in the chapter 5 and in the verse 19. Now look at the verse. John says, and we know. Now there's no mistake about it. We know. As I said this morning, he's speaking here to the people of God. And there's a whole lot of people today, they don't like this kind of language when it comes to the matter of salvation. When people say, well, by the grace of God, I'm saved and I know I'm saved. And again, I was just thinking, a man was saying to me just the other day, in fact, there's a whole lot of places, a whole lot of fellowships and a whole lot of churches, and you dare not mention the word saved. They don't like to hear this word saved. But we know it's a biblical word. It's a doctrinal word. It's by grace are ye saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And John here is not speaking in any doubtful way, as I say. And we know that we are of God. But note the next words here. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. What an incredible word that is. The whole world lieth in wickedness. Or in darkness. And of course, that's John's verdict upon the world. Was he exaggerating here? And of course he wasn't. Oh, the state of the world tonight, the state of man by nature. A man by nature is in spiritual darkness, in wickedness. The Bible speaks about the darkness of the mind. And it speaks about the understanding. The Apostle Paul speaks about the understanding, having the understanding darkened. What an awful condition. What an awful plight the unsaved man is in. Oh, but oh, the child of God. The child of God has received the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's no longer in darkness. I say it's an incredible statement, isn't it? When you look out upon our world and look at it spiritually, it is covered with darkness. It's very much like a dark cloud coming down upon a lovely landscape. And there you're driving to the countryside. And all of a sudden night begins to fall. And this dark, dark, gloomy darkness covers the whole landscape. And it is covered. And as you drive along here and there, you can see a little cottage or a house. And you see that speckle of a light in the distance. And that's very much like the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. There's a light here and there, and thank God for it. The light of the witness of the gospel. But the whole world is in an awful state. Our land is in an awful state. It is in darkness. But the one who knows God has been reconciled unto him. And we have light. Our understanding has been enlightened. And it's not a wonderful thing. We're not talking now about somebody who is highly educated. If they are, that's fine. Bible doesn't speak against that. But the Christian, no matter how lowly they might be, they may be perhaps well nigh illiterate. But oh, praise God, the child of God has an understanding of the times. They have an understanding of the condition of the society that they are living in. But the whole world lies in darkness. So God has given to us. He has given to his people. God is light and in him is no darkness. And this is the light of God. This is the nature of God in the soul. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Because Peter reminds us that we're partakers of that divine nature. It is hard to explain it. I must confess I can't fully explain it. The new nature. And to be a partaker of the life of God. The nature of God in the soul. Now this light is given, as I say, for to lead us in life's journey. To lead us in this life's journey. The word of God refers to us as strangers and pilgrims. That's who we are. Strangers and pilgrims in this world in which we live. Different, that is. Separated by the grace of God and by the power of God. And we have a journey before us. We know it's not all easy, it's not all smooth. But light, here's what the Christian has. Here's a privilege. We've been given light. It's amazing, isn't it, how many books. I was just thinking, I heard just recently about the number of books that come out every year, new publications upon written on philosophy and the philosophy of life, what life is all about and how we should live life and everything else and the meaning of life. But not one of them Not one of them can lead and direct in the right way. There's nothing at the end. It's just all just as it were. It's just like that cloud coming down there upon the land. No light in it for to lead. And no hope for a man's latter end. And how he is going to finish in this world. But I want to give you an illustration as regards to this light. Let's take example two individuals. And they're setting out upon a journey. Over a long mountain terrain. The night is very dark. And they haven't travelled this way before. But they're offered a light, they're offered a lantern each for to lead them and to guide them over this rough terrain. Yes, it's a pitch dark night. There's the lanterns offered. Now, one man, he refuses the light. He says, I don't need that. I'm well able to cope on my own. I'm good and sturdy on the feet and I think I can reach my destination all right. So I don't want your lantern at all. I don't want your map either. But the other man, he's not so confident. And he reaches out for the lantern. The light. And so they step out upon their journey. Now what happens? I think we know what's going to happen. The man that has refused the light, he's going to stumble. He's going to go into many a hole in the ground. He's going to go over on his ankle. Things are not going to go well for him. And there he wanders. And he even wanders off of that path and he's out in no man's land. And he's in complete confusion. He doesn't know where he's going. Oh, but it's a different case. It's a different case with the man with the lantern. He holds it out there in the front. He keeps the path. He can see every trap. He can see every hole in the ground. He can see every hindrance. And by he reaches his destination. Now isn't that just a picture given to us, just an illustration of a man who embraces the word of God, the light of God, and who holds the scripture and reads the word and trusts in God for to direct him and to give him light through life's journey. That man is safe. That man is going to reach his destination, which is heaven and glory. He can see things that are going to make him to stumble and to falter. You remember that great psalm that we have? A well-known psalm, one of the better-known psalms, I suppose. There in the Psalm 27. The Psalm 27 and in the verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord, he is the light. The light of my salvation. And again, Peter speaks about this as well in his epistle. Peter speaks there about what God has done for his people in 2 Peter in the chapter 2 and in the verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Into his marvelous light. How wonderful, brethren, to have the light of God and the light of his word to lead us, to direct us, to show us on the way. And isn't that just a problem tonight? Isn't that the thing? Isn't that the whole problem behind rebellion in the land, lawlessness? And everything else, no fear of God. Every year that passes by, a true fear of God, a reverence for God and the things of God seems to evaporate more and more. What's the problem? The light of God has been rejected. So people stumble and they fall. They look here and there for happiness. and for enjoyment. And they're looking to this and that and the other to try and fulfill that inner need, that hunger, that whatever it is that they're craving after. But never, never satisfied. And so John, writing to the people of God, he says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. No confusion. As John, when he was writing to these believers, and of course, just even back in John's day, there were false teachers and false cults seeking to draw away adherents after themselves. But John rejoiced in this. This man that was among us was the man Christ Jesus. We saw him, we heard him, and we handled of the word of life. He died and rose again. And he is the light of the world. Dear soul tonight, do you have this light in your soul and in your heart? God's light? God's salvation? Have you come to faith and trust in him? Are you saved? Are you on your way to glory and to heaven? Oh, well, what a precious thing. What a great prize to have. But then this light, as I've already said, it exposes dangers as well. That's what light does. That's why we value it so very much. If we have to start out on a long journey, it's going to expose the pitfalls. They're there before us. If there's a cliff to my left hand or to my right hand, the light is there. It's going to guide and direct. Perhaps there's a water hole. There's many a thing in the way. But oh, I have the light. And this life and this world, as I've already said, John reminding the people of God here, that the whole world lies in wickedness and going from sin to sin, as it were. But here we have the word of God before us. And this word reveals to us all the pitfalls, the dangers, the snares and everything else. The very things that will destroy and bring souls to a lost eternity. The temptations of immorality and everything else, and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. But they're hearing the word of God. Oh, I say to the young men, the young women in the congregation, in fact, every one of them, to myself as well, oh, let us value this light. It's teaching, it's instruction, it exposes the dangers to us. The things that we are to avoid. The things that we are to abstain from evil, abstain from sin, flee from the lust of the flesh and everything else. This light exposes the dangers. And praise God, it leads us on the way. I may be speaking to somebody in the church tonight, somebody listening in online. And thank God if you are listening in to the services. But perhaps there's somebody tonight and you're in trouble with regards to the future. You're in trouble with regards to the future and with regards to eternity. And I believe in this day and age, and especially over the past weeks and months, that there's more and more people thinking upon along these lines. Whereas perhaps before they wouldn't have given these things a thought at all. Life was just, it was all just one buzz, as it were. Everything was going well. And we're living for our enjoyments and we're living for our pleasures and to make money and to advance and this, that and the other. But people, more people than ever, are thinking about their latter end and about eternity. Eternity. How we need to be reminded of it. And death to come. How we're going to finish. How we're going to end. There's a lovely hymn that we often sing. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. And dear soul, tonight, if you're not saved and you're thinking about this and you're perhaps in fear and in trembling, I have good news for you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. That there is an answer. As I said a moment ago, all these books that are published about life and how to live it and everything else, there's not one of them can tell me how I'm going to face death and how I'm going to face my latter end and eternity. Not one of them. Written by scholars and educated men. How am I going to stand before God? How am I going to be in the judgment when death comes? And people have come face to face with that over the past while. Never thought it would happen. With loved ones and so on. But death has come and it's a real thing. And there's fear. Oh, if you're in such a state tonight, let me exhort you to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there is an answer. Jesus has overcome death. He has conquered the grave. And that's why He came. John is speaking about Him here, as I've already said. The one that they handled and looked upon, He died and rose again from the dead. He speaks here in verse 2 about eternal life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. There is such a thing, thank God, as eternal life, life everlasting. And if you ask for it, if you look to the Lord for it, and if you trust Him with all your heart, you need not be afraid when death comes. You need not be afraid of your latter end. You need not fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. We're living in a society, in a world of fear. Fear on every hand. But thank God, the gospel. This is the good news of the gospel. And it takes away this fear. Remember the words of the psalmist, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I will fear no evil. The apostle Paul could say that it was for him, it would be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Absent from the body to be present with the Lord. We have many pictures over there in the Old Testament. And there, just for example, in Exodus chapter 13 and the verse 21, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud. Isn't that wonderful? This little band of people, the Israelites, just brought out of Egypt. These are despised people. But He went by day in a pillar of cloud and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. He did not forsake them. When the night came, He didn't forsake them. The Lord didn't say, "Well, you've had the pillar of cloud now in the daytime, and this is night. You can just fend for yourself." No, He didn't forsake them when the night came. And perhaps many a poor heart was in fear and trembling. But they had this pillar of fire. Again in the Psalm 119 and the verse 130. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple." Isn't that wonderful? The entrance of God's word giveth light. John says God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Dear soul, tonight there's light for you. There is salvation. There is mercy. There's the forgiveness of sins. There is life for a look at the crucified one. Oh, but the entrance of God's word is, in a sense, how many people have shut it out? How many people have shut out the word of God? How tragic it is. Maybe brought up with the gospel, maybe speaking to somebody tonight, brought up under the sound of the gospel, and you've heard the gospel and you've shut it out, but still with all that, there is time for you. You may still believe. You may still be saved. So many people continue on to shut out the word. But then, there's another thing as well when we think of this light. And this is another, there is the absence of light. The absence of light. And when the light goes out, what a tragedy. It is a tragedy. Oh, when you stop to think of this. How many pulpits in the land? How many pulpits in the land fail, do not preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's a tragedy, isn't it? You know something, brethren? If the pulpit is not a lighthouse, if it's not a lighthouse for to warn, to signal, I'm afraid it's a complete and utter failure. It doesn't matter one iota how fancy the building is, whether they're stained glass windows or whatever. It matters nothing what the clergyman is dressed up like, whether he's in fancy garments or whatever, or whatever the amount of incense that he has. If he's not preaching the gospel, then it's an awful tragedy. And there's so many pulpits like that. No gospel. What a day that's going to be when these men are going to have to give an account. The absence of light. The Apostle Paul emphasized it over and over again. We preach Christ and Him crucified. The power of God unto salvation. That's the whole purpose of the pulpit. That's the whole purpose of the man in the pulpit. He's not there to amuse. He's not there for to tell a whole lot of old jokes and stories and everything else. He's there for to preach the good news of the gospel. That God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And like that lighthouse to warn people that there is indeed a judgment to come. There's a judgment to come. Note what he says here in 1st Epistle of John, the chapter 4, the verse 1. And you know, right throughout this epistle, John is warning about this. And somehow or another, there was a time when the evangelical witness was more, perhaps, on the ball, warning about this, and the day has come. He says here, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Oh, it's a tragedy. Numerous people sitting, yes, in places of so-called worship, but no gospel, an absence of light. Thank God for the light of the gospel. And of course, where is that absence of light? There's confusion as well. It is true in the physical realm, isn't it? If you're out on a mountain or some wilderness and there's no light, we're in confusion. We stumble, we fall. We can't make our way at all. And there's panic and there's everything else. And this is the day that we're living in. This day of absence of light. The light and the preaching of the word of God. Men more taken up with pleasing men and pleasing their congregations and telling them what they want to hear. It's no wonder, brethren, that ecumenism is so popular today. No wonder ecumenism is so popular. Look at what he says here in the chapter 2, for example, and the verse 18. Chapter 2 and the verse 18. He says, little children, 'tis the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. He says in the verse 22, you see, he calls some, John here, he'd be counted today, he wouldn't get a hearing today. This man is not politically correct. What he's calling some religious men Antichrists. He's calling some men liars in the verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And in the chapter 3 in the verse 8 he says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why there's religious confusion today on every hand. Because the light, not only has it been turned down and dimmed, but in so many places it has been extinguished. There was a time in evangelical Protestantism when they were very clear with regards to the Pope that he was the Antichrist. It was proclaimed on every hand. People were warned. The Antichrist. And he is the Antichrist. He's the Antichrist in the church. But oh, today, if you, we cannot say things like that. It's not right. All religions are valuable today, and they've all something to contribute. But oh, the awful delusion. The awful delusion of ecumenism. The awful delusion of apostate Protestantism. And the awful delusion of Romanism. The darkness. And oh, the multitudes of people that are in darkness. A tragedy. There is the absence of light. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. May the Lord help us to stand for the light and for the truth of God. And not only that, but to do our utmost to win people. To win them. As I said this morning, we must have a true sympathy and a true pity for those that are in darkness. And to seek to win them and to bring them under the gospel. Out from under false religion. Out from under delusion. And get them into the light of the gospel. Here's John. Naming Antichrist. Speaking about those teachers that went out from us, he says, but they were not of us. And he's not afraid to tackle it. He's not afraid to come face to face with them. And he's here all the time helping the people of God. Those that were perhaps doubting and in trouble. For to go forward. To go forward and in the gospel. And to preach the message. And to stand for Christ. And to stand for the word of the Lord. Oh, isn't it? What a privilege tonight. I thank God for that day and hour he ever saved me out of Romanism and out of confusion and out of darkness. And I pray continually that my family, brothers and sisters, that their eyes would be open and that they would come to know the Lord and come to know the gospel and be saved. Just recently I was speaking to my brother Andrew on the phone. And thank God I found him open to read the Bible, to read the Word of God. But as I said this morning, we find it difficult, don't we? But we must witness, we must testify. And we must tell others of Jesus the mighty to save. Oh, if you're not saved tonight, embrace the light of the gospel. Embrace Christ, receive him, call upon him. Ask him to save you, and he will, and he'll give you life eternal, life everlasting. And praise God, that is his gift. The gift of God is eternal life, without money, without price. There's no purgatory, no paying for get people out of purgatory. In Hebrews, it's very interesting that in Hebrews chapter 1, the verse 3, he has purged our sins. Countless numbers of dear people are being told today that after their life here is over, they must go to be purged. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. May the Lord send us a mighty quickening and a mighty revival. May we love it more and more. May many precious souls, Lord, embrace the light of the gospel. Oh, be pleased to answer prayer. Part us with your blessing tonight, each one. Grant all a safe journey home. Undertake, Lord, this incoming week, Lord, for all that will take place, that your name will be glorified and uplifted among us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.